Yeah.
Baby got back.
Whoa. So I want to say good morning. And some of you are awake, and that's okay. I'm trying to wake up. Can we stand together? Maybe that'll get our blood flowing and moving around, and maybe we'll do some yoga or some stretching or something. No, no yoga. I don't like yoga. But God bless you all, and here we are once again to come together to worship and to be edified and to allow God to move through us as a body, to use our gifts, to bless one another, to come closer to the Lord, you know, to do the things that he's called us to come to do. And that's a blessing, amen? I mean, that's a blessing. It's an honor and a privilege to come together so that we can grow and edify one another and build each other up, right? So we can smile and say hi and good morning and go Hawks and whatever else you want to say. Anybody watch the Hawks game? Yeah, you did. Broncos didn't play, did they? They got lucky. Well, it is good to see your faces this morning. And we're going to start with some prayer. And just, I'm going to challenge everybody to enter into worship and to allow your worship to be a sweet aroma to God. You know, just to get out of the box, if you will, to have this morning, allow God just the radiation of joy and of thanksgiving to come up off of us and allow us to enter in. Allow us to set aside whatever and just allow the angels of God to come and literally just collect the worship that we're offering up as a sweet aroma, as an offering to him. And don't hesitate. Don't hold back. Let your heart radiate this morning. No matter what, where, it doesn't matter what you did, where you're going, who you are, it doesn't matter. Let's just give it up. Let's just lay it down and let God just sense the thanksgiving that we have, sense the pleasure that we have, as we can sense the pleasure that he has. So I'm going to pray. If you'll join me, that'd be awesome. Father, this morning we are here to enter in. We're here, God, because you love us. That's really what it comes down to. You love us and you've equipped us as a body to grow, to be strong, and to have a heart of humility. And we just now claim this morning, this geographical location and these hearts to be a dwelling place for Holy Spirit, for God the Most High, for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and to be a place of worship, a place of thanksgiving, a place of gratitude, a place of honor, a place of love, one that says, God, you're first. God, you're first. Let's say that today. God, you're first. God, you are first in my life. And by saying that, we give a place of honor to God that he needs to have in our lives. So God, you're first. For this moment at a time, one day at a time, God, you are first. And we choose to worship you. We choose to give you preeminence. We choose to allow our lives to be used by you. And we choose this morning for our words, no matter how good or bad we think we sing, we know, God, that by the time it gets to you, it is a beautiful and pleasing aroma. And so we thank you for this opportunity. In the name of Jesus Christ, everybody say, amen.
Amen.
Joy comes in the morning.
was far too high. I never thought I'd reach the other side, but your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. It may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. For my good.
How true is that?
You make all things work together for my good.
You promise.
You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You all things work together for my good. Oh, you make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
You know it's impossible for His love to fail you.
Your love never fails.
Whoa.
Your love never fails.
Whoa.
You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. Be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me, and your love never fails. Your love never fails. has brought us out of the darkness into the light, lifting our sorrows, bearing our burdens, healing our hearts.
Sing that again.
Up from the ashes, your love has brought us out of the dark. Sorrows, bearing our burdens, healing our hearts. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. Starting to rise, death is defeated, we are victorious, you are alive. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Make his praise.
Make his praise glorious, glorious, glorious. For his name is glorious. Singing hallelujah. these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Your love. unconditional. Oh, how great. Oh, how great. Oh, how great.
He loves how
he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
You know, it's really easy to sing that song, He Loves Us, because obviously Jesus loves his body. But when it comes to us as individuals, when it comes to our personal application of that truth, it gets a little tougher. It gets a little harder to truly embrace God's love. I'm just being honest. I'm being transparent. I know he loves me. But is it inside? You know what I mean? Up here, I know he loves me. Read it all through the Bible. Folks, he loves us unconditionally. You can't do anything. We can't do anything to separate us from that love. And he wants his love to come in and just melt everything that's keeping us from receiving truly who he wants to be in our lives. That perfect love, that love that makes no sense, it removes all fear, all hesitation, all anxiety, all arm's length, keeping God back, because we don't want him to see our junk in our trunk. But he knows it, and he loves me. So I want us to sing it again, and I want you to sing it in a way that you're opening up your heart like a gate into the heavenlies. And you're saying, I don't care what I see with my natural eyes. I don't care what I've done in the flesh. I don't care what it looks like on this earth. In heaven, which is coming to earth, you love me. I've heard testimony from people who have had experiences where they've gone to be with the Lord for sometimes hours at a time until they're revived here. And they say that the only thing that they truly remember is the love that God had while they were there. They had little glimpses and pictures of other stuff, but that they remember is His agape, His love, His unconditional love. And I believe the Lord just wants to explode in our hearts here today. I mean, like dynamite going off. We're the place where we just melt in His presence. We just receive the goodness of God into us. Remember last week I shared, in His presence is fullness of joy. Well, if you're not full of joy to where it's bubbling up and overflowing, then you need to experience some of His presence. And there's no better place in His presence than His love. More time, Glenn.
He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves. How He loves. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, when it's all about you, when it's all about you, King of endless worth. No one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required.
Oh, so much more.
We'll search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart.
I'm coming
to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, when it's all about you, when it's all about you, Jesus.
I'm coming
all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you, it's all about you, much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart.
I'll bring you more than a song,
for a song in itself is not what you have required.
You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you.
Overwhelming. come wash them away.
And what can wash away my sins? Away my sins. Away my sins. What can
for us. When we receive it by faith, God, it washes away every sin, every stain of darkness from our life. We thank you for that, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for making us whole. Thank you, Lord, for making us whole, making us one in you. Thank you, Lord, for that. Just thank you, Lord, for your grace that's here today, God. And it's so sufficient. It's so sufficient for us. When everything else is failing, when everything else seems to be not working out, your grace is sufficient. We just receive your grace into our lives, into our circumstances. To every situation, Lord, that we're dealing with, Lord, we receive your grace, supernatural empowerment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Why don't you take a moment, greet someone, welcome them. Praise the Lord. So children, if you start to make your way up, impact's going down this morning for a little bit. You're not sure? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. A coin you can flip? I don't. I left it at home. Okay, so you guys are going to go downstairs for a little bit, and we'll have you come back up after you guys are done, and I've shared a little bit with your mom and dads, and we're going to then have family communion together. Okay? So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your children. Lord, we thank you, God, for these young hearts, God, and I pray, Lord, that you would just allow your grace, your mercy, your truth, God, to just rule and reign in their hearts today. Pray, Lord, as they go down, Lord, that they would learn, Lord, your ways, learn to walk in your ways, learn to know who you are, and how you're working in their lives today, Lord. Not when they grow up, Lord, but today. We just release them into your full calling and plan and purpose that you have for them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Morning, everybody. So the kids are going down, and they're going to be receiving this information downstairs as well, but I want to let everybody know that we now have our flyers ready for Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School starts a week from tomorrow, and it is in the evening for an hour and a half. And we will have four separate classes. They will be also have music, crafts, snack, of course, and then their lessons, and we're just going to be meeting downstairs in the main fellowship hall. So your kids are going to get a couple of these each to give out to friends or whatever, but I also have a stack up here if you would like to take some for children you may know that would really, really, really love to come to VBS. And I'm going to make a reminder to my husband, you need to put it up on the board outside, the board thingy out there. Anyway, so it is August 18th, which is Monday, through August 20th, which is Wednesday, and it's for kids. It's from 4 to 11, and we are having a preschool class, which is 4 and 5-year-olds, and then if you have a kid that you find out that wants to come to it, if you'll just call the church phone number, which is on this flyer, just give their name, their age, a contact number, for a parent so that we can contact a parent to make sure, and then leave your name too so that we know who's calling to register a child. So if you have any questions, you can see me directly following the service. Thank you.
I'm happy to say hello. Am I there? Oh. Happy to say no animals were hurt during that announcement, so that's always good. Well, today is Communion Sunday, and actually every day is Communion Sunday here, but this is our family communion. And back in, I think it was January, maybe it was February, it's hard to remember now, but the Lord put on my heart the importance of communion, and I don't have the time to review all of those messages, although with Pastor Sharon here, it'd be very appropriate to go through every single message, just like Pastor Ken used to do, right? He'd leave 5 minutes maybe for his new message, and so, but we had it drilled into us what he was communicating, so I don't have that that luxury. So I do want to encourage everyone who's here today to realize that communion is something that we've had since the very beginning of the church. As a matter of fact, Jesus, on his night of betrayal, instituted communion. And for the longest time, as I've communicated before, I didn't want it to become a tradition. I didn't want it to become something that we would do and then not really reverence or honor or give the place in our life that it was to have. And so with that, I would not have it enough. when we became senior pastors, we had it so that we established it every other month so that we wouldn't forget about it. We put it on a schedule. But as this year has gone on, I've realized that in so doing that, we were not receiving the full benefits, the full appropriation, so to speak, of what was there for us to appropriate and for us to actually walk in and live in. One of the messages I shared on was that his life, God's life, is in his blood, which some people say, well, Pastor Mike, that's juice. Well, that's juice in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm, it's his blood. And in blood is the very essence of life. And if you want to hear about that, you can go back to that message. I think it was sometime maybe in May. But the very first message was a message on having common union. It's literally what communion means. If you break it down into the English word, means common union. It's the Greek word fellowship, koinonia, and it means to have partnership. It means to what one has, the other has, and what one doesn't have, the other makes up for. So when it comes to God, obviously he's not taking, you know, our weaknesses upon himself. He takes our weaknesses and replaces it with strength. He takes our broken lives and replaces them with whole lives. And so today I want to talk a little bit about the body, and the way it's kind of worked is every other month I have talked about either the blood or the body. Today I want to share about the body, and I want to share the facet or the aspect of that the body of Jesus isn't just his physical body, isn't just his supernatural body up in heaven, isn't just the bread, but that his body is us. And that when we take communion, we don't just take Jesus' body that was broken for us, but we take also Jesus' body who is us. And some of you are looking at me like, Pastor Mike, now that sounds pretty out there. Well, let me go ahead and help you with some verses, some scriptures here. Hang on a moment. We're going to first turn to Romans chapter 12. I have a lot of verses here today, so we'll see how much preaching I actually get to do. We're going to let the word kind of speak for itself. Amen. Let me go ahead and open prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that your word is alive. Your word is truth. And Lord, your word is a gateway and a doorway into you. Lord, that your word isn't you, but God, your word is a doorway, is an opening into you. So Lord, we approach you today, Lord, by coming with faith to your word, and we ask that the truth and the revelation, Lord, that you have in your word would be released today here by the Holy Spirit into our hearts to make us alive to you, Lord, like we've never been before. God, that we would be, Lord, who you have totally called us to be, not just in our minds, Lord, but in every aspect of our being, Lord, that our spiritual life would come alive inside of us, Lord, and that we wouldn't just be setting our mind, Lord, on the things of this earth, but God, truly on things above, God, that we would truly live according to the unseen, not the seen. And we just bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Romans 12:4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. Say it with me. One body in Christ. One more time. One body in Christ. And individually, members of one another. Let me go ahead and go to another translation. That's the New King James. I think it's the Message that kind of says it. Now this is definitely the Message and paraphrase, but I want you to catch this. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelous functioning parts in Christ's body. So in other words, we are individuals, right? We are, it's not like we're all one big glob of flesh, praise the Lord, right? And, you know, like the blob moving around. Take that picture out of your mind. But anyway, we're individuals. We're members each of a body. But in Christ, we are one. In Christ, we are all one body. Now, I know it's hard for us to relate to this because we all live in different houses. We all have different jobs. We all seem to, have different lives. And yet, on certain occasions, sometimes we come together and we meet. And at that point, we're supposed to think of ourselves as one. But when you're on your job on Monday morning and I'm, doing what I'm doing on Monday morning and someone else's, we're one body. We're still one. Now, part of the faction or the schism or the division that we have is mental. Because in actuality, we are one body. What ends up happening is that we become separated, we become divided because of the way we view each other. And I'll go on before I go too deep into that. Let's go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians 10, starting at verse 16. And I think I use this verse almost every single time that we take family communion and I share, because it is so clear and evident about what communion is. That it's not just a symbolic representation, but it is a literal, spiritually, blood and body of Christ. But it says here, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now listen to this. For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread. So even though we are many, we are one body or one bread. The name of this sermon, if you want to write down sermon, is One Loaf, One Body. And I know we take communion and it is individual pieces. And in a way, it helps to continue the schism. Because each of us are taking communion personally, and it is a personal act, just like our salvation is a personal act. But even though we are taking individual pieces here of bread, I want you today to think of it as one loaf that we're all taking part in. Because if we don't view ourselves as one body, as we don't view ourselves as one loaf, and that we're all individuals and we're all taking what's there for us, we're all getting what we want to get, then what we're doing is we're not preferring each other, we're not putting each other ahead of each other, and what we end up doing is creating a hurt body. Because some others who are maybe in our midst don't have the freedom to come and embrace this totally and receive everything that's in this piece of bread. while you come up here and you just like, oh, I'm going to receive this, and you don't consider others that maybe can't even feel like they want to take communion. Are you following me? Okay, let me go ahead and share some more that might help. Keep going on here. Ephesians 1:22 says this, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So his ecclesia, which is his body, which is his church, is full of him, is one in him. And so his body is us. We are his body. When Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body broken for you, it's not just now a representation of his broken body, it's also a representation of his body, us. Do you understand that? That when we take communion, we're not just taking communion personally with his broken body, we're taking communion also interacting with the love that we have for one another. Okay, let me go on, because you can see we're not all tracking, including myself. Jude 12. Now, we were singing about love. He loves me, oh how he loves me, right? And I was kind of at one point becoming overwhelmed with God's love as it was kind of pouring over me. And we probably, again, don't relate to the early church, but the early church broke bread from house to house daily. They celebrated the Lord's communion daily. Now, why did they do this? Well, one of the reasons is I believe they understood the power of communion, the interaction, the common union, the life that was flowing to them. Maybe they didn't understand all the other aspects of the scriptures. I don't know. But they also understood the oneness that was there in their communion. They called them love feasts. What a name. Agape feasts. Because it wasn't just about them receiving the elements and then just going home. It was about them receiving the elements and realizing that there is a love present that wasn't just for them, but it was for each other. And so in Jude, he challenges these individuals who have come among the churches that Jude is talking to, and they've kind of damaged the whole principle and the truth of what Jesus was doing. And he says here, let's go to verse 11, because 12 says in verse 11 of Jude, woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. So he's really hitting them really hard. But then in 12 he says, these are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. These are spots in your love feasts. And what was it they were doing? They were coming and they were feasting. They were taking communion, and they were taking it without fear. Not fear that God is going to punish them, but fear and reverence of who he is, and fear and honor of who he is, but also fear and honor of who the body is. Are you following me? So they would create a spot in their love feasts. They would create a blemish in their love feasts. And I believe that means that there was damage that was done to others. I'm actually going somewhere with all this. Now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 11. And this is going to be a few verses I'm going to read. I think I'm reading all the way through, 34. from 17 to 34. Now, my Bible, the title of this is Conduct at the Lord's Supper. And I think I'll read a little bit, then I'll go ahead and share a little bit what I think was going on. And the potential for damage that we can have happen to our feast as well. Now, giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who approve may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. So what he's saying is, you're coming together, and you are coming saying you're going to eat the Lord's Supper. You're going to take communion. You're going to, and from what I understand, the early church centered around communion, folks. We've made it so it's like a table we hold off to the side, or we've made it so that it's something that we do in a response to something that's been there for a long time, and we want to honor the Lord. But I'm here to tell you that in the early church, they centered around communion. And so he's saying, when you come together, you're not doing the Lord's Supper. You're doing something else. And it's creating division, and it's creating hurt, and it's keeping the love feast from being clean and pure. You could say, he would add, there's spots in your love feast. So let's go on to see what he says has happened. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry and another is drunk. It sounds like they also feasted together when they had communion. So individuals would come and they would come to the table first. And it sounds like maybe they would eat, I don't know if it was bread and food, but they would literally eat till they were totally stuffed. And let's say you had a whole big line up here and all these people feast on this food. Well, people in the back, guess what? Are they going to get fed? Are they going to get the juice? So he says here, for in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. So this is a pretty tough indictment, really, that is being brought to this church, the Corinthians. And what is happening here is that they are not considering one another. They're not remembering that they're one body, that they're one loaf. They're not thinking about, how is my brother feeling when I'm sitting here taking the food and they can't have it? Now, you're saying, well, Pastor Mike, what am I going to get out of one piece of bread? I mean, I'm not going to eat all of that oyster, all those oyster crackers. That's nasty. Well, that's absolutely true. So it might be hard for you to relate to this. But let's put it another way. Let's say that one of us among us here is hurt. And let's say that one of us among us has hurt that one. And let's say we come together on Sunday and we disregard the hurt and the pain that we brought to the other one. And yet we approach the communion table with faith and confidence, and even though we know we've hurt another one, we don't consider them. We just consider our relationship with the Lord while that other one is hurting. Maybe hurting so much that they can't even lift their head. They can't even worship because they're in so much pain. We know offenses will come. We know that circumstances and situations are going to happen in the body of Christ that are not healthy. And it is up to us how we respond to those. But left unfixed, left in a bad state, it's like a festering wound. And when we come together and we have a love feast, it's not really a feast, you know, like we think of feast, but, you know, Jesus said to feast on my flesh and my blood. That's the Greek word that he uses. It's like completely dine on my flesh and my blood. in John 6. I don't have time to get in it right now. That's another teaching. But the point being is that this is a feast. And so if agape, if love is supposed to be the central theme of this, if this is supposed to be a representation of God's love for us, and then we're to then exhibit that love with each other when we come to the communion table and don't consider each other, then what we end up doing, we end up making a mockery of Jesus' love for us. Because what we're doing is says, I'll receive your love, but I won't give your love away. I'll receive your grace, but grace for others I won't give. Now, we know that there's teachings that when you're holding unforgiveness about someone else, you're in a prison. You're locked up. You're tied up. Even though you say, well, no, I'm able to move around. There's no problems. But emotionally, you're tied up. You can't get around that person without your stomach being in knots. Or you can't interact with that person freely. There's always like tension. Or there's always something that you're holding back. You're not willing to yield your heart to them. And as the body of Christ, that should not be. We should be the most crazy in love people with each other than any other group on the earth. I'm here to tell you. And if we don't realize this, if we don't move into this, and we continue to just feast and not realize that I'm accountable for each other. What did that say in Romans 12:5 again? It says it like this. It says, so we being many are one body and individually members of one another. In other words, individually, we're part of each other. And if we don't realize that, and we come to the communion table, we come to the Lord's table, and we disregard each other, then there's consequences. Hate that word, consequences. So Paul says here in 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same manner, he took also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And then verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Now listen to this. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. So Paul is saying here, I believe, that when you come together and you're feasting, the very beginning, and you have some that are just eating all the food and drinking, what to the place of being drunk, it sounds like. Sounds like it was a party-type atmosphere. And when you have one that doesn't get anything at all and they're hungry, you're not discerning the Lord's body. You're not considering the Lord's body. And because of that, you're taking this holy. How many know this is holy? This is holy because it is his blood. It is his body. You're taking communion. You're taking a common union where you're saying, I want all that God has, his life, his fullness in me, and I'm going to receive it, and yet you don't consider your brothers and sisters. You're drinking judgment to yourself. Some of you say, well, Pastor Mike, this is a heavy word. Yes, it is. It is a heavy word, and we need to consider that when we are in Christ, we are one loaf. And if it says if you've got one of your members that's cut off your body, it's painful. I mean, How many of us are going to say, oh, well, you know, that's just a finger. I'll grow another one back? Pretty crazy, isn't it? Yet we have one of our members suffering, hurting. Now, some of you say, well, I don't know who's hurting, Pastor Mike. Well, if you don't know someone's hurting and you can freely come to the Lord, you're fine. There's no worries. But I have to tell you a story. One time I was actually in this building. It was years ago. It was Yakima Four Square. And I had an offense with someone. And we were getting ready to take communion. And I remember the scripture. It says in Matthew, I think it's 5, says, when you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother or sister has aught with you, go and make it right with them before you bring your gift to the altar. And so, you know, I didn't have all the understanding about communion. I just knew that it was something that we did and remembered the Lord's death, and we honored him in taking communion. And so I was not going to take communion when I knew this individual either had done something to me or I did something to him. I can't even remember what it was now. But I walked up to them right in the middle of the service. It's time to take communion. I walked up, could I talk to you, please? Yeah. So we walked out, you know, went through the doors, and I got him off to the side, and I said, listen, I just have to ask you to forgive me. This is nothing about you. This is about me. Something happened, and I've been holding something in my heart, and I don't want to hold you in my heart like that anymore. And we hugged each other, and I was able to take communion freely. Now, I wasn't thinking of this verse or anything, but it didn't make sense for me to embrace the love of God when I had aught against my brother who was in this service. And yet as Christians, we fall into the world's trap. The world's trap is that you work with somebody, you have a problem with them, you know what you do? You avoid them. You keep them out of your sight. You don't work necessarily super close to them. You ask your supervisor not to put you with them. If you are the supervisor, you put them in another place. I mean, what I'm saying is you do what you can to stay as far away from them as possible. Now, the problem is you move into the Christian faith, guess what we do? We do the same thing. In the whole guise of keeping peace, for crying out loud, it's not keeping peace. If you could see the demonic torment that's over the body of Christ when that's happening, you would say, there's no peace here at all. You think not talking to a person, you think not communicating to them is going to keep something right. No, that is just feeding the fuel for the enemy. And it's making it so that when you come to this, it doesn't have the power that it needs to have. It's being taken in an unworthy manner because you're not even considering his body. You're not realizing the value of his body. Now some would say, Pastor Mike, I totally realize the value of Jesus Christ's body crucified for me. He went to the grave for me. He rose from the dead for me. I realize that that body is precious. Yes, you realize that Jesus' body that was in the works 2,000 years ago was precious. But what about Jesus' body here today? What about Jesus' body working in this earth now? His spirit lives in us, and we, although many members, are one loaf. Folks, we're one loaf. And if one loaf, then you can't separate us. You can't. Unless you do it mentally and you check someone off. See, the only way that the world's truly going to know the love of God, I believe, the love we have for one another. See, so many people in the world say that Christians, I don't like dealing with them sometimes because they're hypocrites. They talk about the love of God, yet they seem to be sometimes the most conniving. Just telling you some of the things the world has said to me before. And why is that? It's because we don't really realize that we are one body, and that your hurts should be my hurts. Your rejoices should be my rejoices. Your exaltation in the spotlight should be my exaltation in the spotlight.
I've told husbands this many times. I said, listen, when your wife is being blessed, or wives, when your husband's being blessed, rejoice, you're being blessed. You're being elevated. But I'm here to tell you, as a body of believers, we need to get it right. When one of us is hurting, we're all hurting. When your wife's hurting, husbands, are you not hurting? Wives, when your husband's hurting, are you not hurting? Unless you just disregard each other. See, again, the whole point of what God's moving us into is the reality of communion. And along with the reality of the communion is the reality of the responsibility of what we're taking. Yes, I want us to receive the full union with God, the full oneness with Him that this brings. I want us to receive the full life of God, the soul of God that's in communion. Because that word life means Himself. The life is in the blood. So when we drink this, we drink His life. And I want us to have that one flesh with Him that comes in communion, that marriage, so to speak, connection. But I don't want us to miss the fact that if we don't consider each other, we could be disregarding, or we could be just eliminating the benefits and the profits that this has. And what if it does create even damnation against us, when we've moved so long and so hard against our brothers and sisters, and yet not consider them as the body of Christ, as ones to look at with love. See, this is important. Until we get past petty differences, some may be big differences, some may be theological differences, then we need to realize that if we can't get past our differences and still love, love covers a multitude of sins. Love does free us from fear. See, most of our theological differences are our own ignorance, folks. Because if we think we've got it all figured out, we've got this all doctrinally figured out, we've got all this theologically figured out, then what you're dealing with is ignorance. Because we don't. We see through a mirror dimly. And unless we realize that there are some things that are going to be looked at as one way by one and another way by another, but they still love God, they're still pursuing Him, they're still after Jesus to fully transform their lives, they're brothers and sisters. They can have a common union with you. They're one bread. All the body of believers in this city that are meeting, still summer meeting right now. Most are already on their way to coffee or whatever. Dinner, lunch, breakfast for some. Anyway, the point being is all of our fellow believers in this city are truly part of that one loaf. And yet we, again, look at us as an individual entity and sometimes can call others by names. So let's broaden this. How is your view of the body of Christ? How is your view of other brothers and sisters in this city that maybe you don't agree with? Maybe they've hurt you. See, the thing is that true love is laying down your own will. True love is laying down your rights. It's not about being right. It is not about being right. It's not about being doctrinally right, theologically right. It's about being right in Him. Heart right, purity right. Those pure in heart will see God. You can't have some kind of weird stance and say, I'm gonna push you away because I don't agree with you, and then say you're right in God. That's foolishness. And yet a lot of the body of believers operate in that. And if we're gonna see His kingdom come, We're going to see his will be done. And we're going to see this blood that was shed and is now speaking in heaven better things than that of Abel. And his body, which is the representation of full transformation as him being transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. Opening the veil so that we can be in the very throne room of God, which was his flesh. For these to have the power that they're meant to have, the only way it's going to happen is if we walk in pureness of heart among each other. So are the children up yet? He's going to go get them. Pureness of heart. Pureness of heart. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? Yet, what did Paul say? Examine yourself. Simple thing. Judge yourself. Lord, is there anybody here, or anybody anywhere, Lord, that I'm holding with contempt? I'm holding with disdain. I'm holding with anger and resentment. Forgive me, Lord. Give me the opportunity, Lord, to love them. Give me the opportunity, Lord, to reach out beyond my fears with agape love. Lord, examine me. Help me see if there's any wicked way in me. Not many of us want to pray that. See if there's any wicked way in me. Why are we afraid to pray it? Because we're afraid that he might find something. And he might point it out to the place where we got to get rid of it. Well, then you're playing games with God. We are. If we don't let him fully examine us, then we're playing games with him. He knows us. We just don't know us. He knows every nook and cranny of us. And he's willing to tell us what he wants changed into his image. But the only way it's going to happen is if we yield, is if we surrender. So while the kids are coming up, why don't you go ahead and gather up here with me? Yeah, everybody come on up. You don't want to be the first one? Not after that. Yeah. That reminds me of something. What's that? Yeah, music. Sure, a little music. Little music, maestro. You know, as pastors, we learned a habit, and I never really considered it in aspects of communion. But when there would be like a meal or something downstairs, now if everybody does this and we all just stand around, nobody ever goes through the line. It's going to be bad, but. The point being is that I have gotten in the habit, I think Pastor Gay has, in unless we have to go somewhere, I'm doing a wedding or something like that, I wait at the very end of the line. And it's a practical way of preferring someone over myself to make sure that they get food. And sometimes, frankly, I go through the line and it's just slim pickings. But you know what? There is a joy in me with those slim pickings, knowing that others were fed. See, that's the kind of heart I'm talking about. Now, do I walk in this all the time? No, I have things to work out in my life, with fear and trembling, by the way. But I do want to let you know that that heart of preference, that heart of putting others ahead of ourselves, is the kind of heart the world's really looking for. Where it doesn't make sense how they're being loved. Doesn't make sense how we care for them. And we don't do it out of obligation. We don't do it out of it's the right thing to do. We do it because it's who we are. And the reason it's who we are is because we're being transformed into who he is. So today, let's do this a little different. Let's look around at each other. Let's remember that we're his body. Let's remember that we're one loaf. We're one bread. Some of you are looking at me. Look around at each other. Come on, do it. I know it feels a little weird, but if we can't look each other, how can we love each other? Come on, you're Jesus to me. I'm Jesus to you. We are his body. We are Jesus to the world. And we can make a difference if we walk in that truth, we walk in that reality. Lord, we thank you for your body that was broken. We thank you, Lord, that you took our place on Calvary. Should have been us, Lord. And Lord, we have been crucified with you. And so, Lord, some way, supernaturally, we become part of your body. And Lord, as I look at my brothers and sisters and their lives that are being submitted and yielded to you, and as they've come to worship you and lift you up here today, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize and honor your body, Lord, each other as members of that one loaf. And Lord, we do. We take now this communion with grateful hearts, with thankfulness. If there's anybody in our lives, Lord, that we realize that we have not showed your love. If there's anybody in our life, Lord, that we have pushed away, Lord, or that we've thought of as not as good as us, forgive us, Lord. Truly forgive us, Lord. Lord, we open ourselves up to your examination. Search us, oh God. If there's any crooked way in us, Lord, straighten us out. Forgive us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. With gratefulness and thankfulness, now take, feast on his body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the life that's flowing right now. Thank you, Lord, for the supernatural work that's taking place inside of each and every one of us. That our common union with you, God, is being released now in Jesus' mighty name. Even our DNA is being transformed, Lord. Our life is going to walk in a new health, Lord, because of your body that is broken for us. Now hold up the cup. Lord, we thank you for your shed blood. We thank you, Lord, that your blood, Lord, washes our sins as we sang today. That it makes us whole again. Lord, that it makes us pure and spotless, God. And that we're able to have those heavenly garments placed on us, Lord. That we're clean and we're pure. So, Lord, today, God, we thank you and we honor your blood that was shed for us. We thank you, Lord, that your blood is in heaven speaking on our behalf. Saying, they're innocent. They're forgiven. Do not hold any guilt against them. Their punishment was my punishment. Release them. Lord, we thank you that your blood is speaking on our behalf in heaven. And Lord, today we drink, Lord, your life. The life that's in the blood, Lord, and we receive it by faith and we let it do the full transforming work that you so desire in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your shed blood. Thank you, Lord, for the life that's flowing in us now because of that work. We receive with gratefulness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Little bit of business. Summer picnic this coming Wednesday. That will be at Kissel Park. And there will be three meats. Be doing a brisket, pulled pork, and ribs. Yeah, get that out there. Let people know. Brisket, pulled pork, and ribs. Not full quantities of everything, but yeah. And the movie night. This coming Friday night. Boy, everybody's fellowshipping. This coming Friday night, listen. This coming Friday night, we will have a family movie night at the backyard of Stephen and Sarah Light. And if you need that address, you can give them a call or give us a call, and we'll let you know. God bless everyone. Love you. Have a great day. And remember, continue to prefer each other over yourself.